Hello and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is November 26th. It's a Saturday in the year of our Lord, 20 and 22. Collect for the day, collect for Sabbath rest. Almighty God, who after the creation of the world rested from all your works and sanctified a day of rest for all your creatures, grant that we, putting away all earthly anxieties, may be duly prepared for the service of your sanctuary, and that our rest here upon earth may be preparation for the eternal rest promised to your people in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I've finished all of my coffee while doing the prep work for this. I was drinking just a regular breakfast roast from Target, which was just fine with a little bit of creamer. Again, it's been a while since I recorded, but as you know, it's been Thanksgiving and things are busy. And so missed doing this. I'm going to try to catch up on a couple this week. Might even get an extra one in today. We'll see. Now we're on question 184. And as I was doing prep work for this, I almost started doing some work on one of the homilies on prayers and realized as I was looking at it, wait, I've already done this, haven't I? And that's episode 146, 147, and 148, the homilies on prayer from the Book of Homilies. Not going to do that. So last week, or the last episode, question 183, just what is the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now we're in 184. So 184, what is God's will? Answer, God's will is to reconcile all things to himself in Jesus Christ and to establish his kingdom on earth. His will is revealed in the whole of Scripture, and especially in Jesus Christ, whom I am called to serve and imitate with my whole life. So, repeating question 184, what is God's will? So what is this thing when we say God's will on earth as it is in heaven? God's will is to reconcile all things to himself in Jesus Christ and to establish his kingdom on the earth. His will is revealed in the whole of Scripture, and especially, specifically, in Jesus Christ, whom I am called to serve and imitate with my whole life. So every aspect of my being, everything about myself should be serving Christ or imitation of Christ. So plenty of Scripture to go along with this, so let me get into that. So, starting with Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5, hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Psalm 119, 1 to 16, and then it's 104 to 105. 119, of course, using the Hebraic alphabet. Basically ABCs to spell out, breaks into sections. So it's Aleph and Beth. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. I have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And then 104 to 105. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Next is from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you." The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. The next is a reading from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." The next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 39 to 40. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Next is from Romans, letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. "And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified." Next is also from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable." And the final scriptural reference is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 19. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, repeating question 184, what is God's will? What is God's will? God's will is to reconcile all things to himself in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ, excuse me, to reconcile, which is we just that verse in 2 Corinthians, and to establish his kingdom on the earth. His will is revealed in the whole of Scripture, so all of canon. His will is revealed in the whole of Scripture, and especially in Jesus Christ, whom I am called to serve and imitate with my whole life. So, digging through these verses, of course, that beautiful sets. I'm told in Hebrew, this is pretty beautiful poetry in Psalms, in Psalm, which of course is in the translation, you can see there's an attempt to try to recreate it. And of course it doesn't work perfectly because translations are translations. But it is such a beautiful thing. Blessed are those whose way is blameless and who walk in the law of the Lord, which of course there's only one who's done that, Jesus. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with their whole heart. That would be Jesus again, right? It's basically predicting, telling us Jesus is coming. And of course, Proverbs, I think we're highly neglectful of Proverbs in the modern era. There's some great wisdom. There's a summation of great wisdom in the Proverbs. There's several that I think of on a regular basis in the line of work that I'm in, that have helped me to be at peace with certain things that just don't seem to work, and frustrations with people. And you read Psalms and you understand, oh, this is not a new thing. There are just some people like that. So I'm going to get to Matthew 22 and Cyril of Alexandria to dig into that, the will of God. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Second is like unto itself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it is important to point out that this is a summary of the law. This is not the gospel. The gospel is Christ died for you. He stepped in front of the bullet, the train, the exploding sun, and absorbed all of that so that he might save you. He came, conquered death, hell, Satan, the whole kit and caboodle. He took it all. Stole the keys, you know. I can't remember who was joking about that. It's like, it's the idea of the harrowing of hell, where after Easter Jesus shows up to take the keys. I'm getting myself distracted. Sorry. So we're talking about Matthew, the great commandment, the summary of the law, which is a summary of the will of God, right? So. Cyril of Alexandria, one of the great church teachers of the early church. Therefore, the first commandment teaches every kind of godliness, for to love God with a whole heart is the cause of every good. The second commandment includes the righteous acts we do toward other people. The first commandment prepares the way for the second, and in turn is established by the second. For the person who is grounded in all the love of God clearly also loves his neighbor in all things himself. This kind of person who fulfills these two commandments experiences all the commandments. Here ends the reading. And I just had this image of a child learning how to walk. We all had to learn how to walk. None of us popped out of the womb ready to stroll down any sort of street, right? We all had to learn how to walk. And is it hard? Is it difficult to do the will of God? Is it hard to learn how to walk? Yeah, there's a lot of bumps and falls and scrapes and trips and strengthening of muscles. And I think of that, of course, because my grandson's this little thing, 10 months old, trying to get, you know, he's strong enough to stand on his own, but not strong enough, nor does he have the balance to walk on his own. And yet he will at some point. Following the law of God is not easy. Now, we've already been forgiven for our failings of it. As Christians, we've been baptized. Forgiveness is already there. It's done. It's through. So get up and walk. Is it going to be easy to follow the law of the Lord? No. But it's good. May not be easy, but it's good. Always knowing that we have forgiveness of sins. So that grace gives us the ability to get up and do that walk, to walk in the way of the Lord, to follow in his commands and precepts. So that rolls into John 6. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So here's Cyril of Alexandria again. Having now defined the good will of the Father, he makes it clear and sets it forth more at large for the consideration of the hearers through repeating it yet again. For what the mode of bringing is, and what any gain from being brought, he clearly explains. The Father then giveth the Son, who hath power to quicken them, things lacking life. He giveth thus, through knowledge inserting in each one, the true apprehension of the Son, and the power to understand purely that he is God of very God, the Father, that he, thus minded, and adorned with contemplations hereto belonging, may be brought to the reward of faith. That is a lasting and endless life in bliss. The Father then bringeth to the Son, by knowledge and God befitting contemplation, those to whom he decreed the divine grace. The Son receiveth and quickeneth them, and engrafting his own good into them who are there of their own nature apt to decay, and shedding upon them as a spark of fire the life-giving power of the Spirit, reformeth them wholly unto immortality. But when thou hearest that the Father brings them, and that the Son gives the power of living anew to them that run to him, do not go off into absurd fancies, as though each were supposed to do individually and severally what belongs by fitness of nature unto each, but rather understand that the Father is co-worker with the Son, and likewise the Son with the Father, and that our salvation and recovery from death to life is the work, so to say, of the whole Holy Trinity. And know that the Father is sufficient unto all might and need, and likewise the Son and the Holy Ghost. But through the whole Holy Trinity come the things to usward, and God the Father has found all things and all entirely through the Son in the Spirit. We must nevertheless observe this also, that great is found to be the value of belief in the Son, for it hath life as its reward. But if God the Father is known in him who is Son by nature, who will endure any longer them who exclude him from the essence of the Father and have a mouth unbarred to blasphemy against him? For wherein he says he can raise again to life that which has fallen into death, in these same words, without any distinction intervening, he mounts up to identity of nature with the Father. For quickening is a work proper to life, and since the Father is by nature life surely will he too be conceived of him who is by nature, i.e. the only begotten. Here ends the reading. The end part, of course, is a reiteration of saying that Jesus is the Son of God the Father, and therefore God himself. knowing that in this phase of church history, there was still lots of argument about whether Jesus was the Son of the living God, which we now accept, of course, by the Nicene Creed, to be the Orthodox expression, the Catholic, the universal expression, understanding that. So here it is, the life is found in Christ, and therefore the life comes to us from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all working together in and through us. Now, did I lose my thread? No. The will of God, of course, is to draw all men to himself. This is the will of God, which is done through Jesus. And so if we're to be imitators of Christ, we are then to be ambassadors of Christ, which then draws us into the discussion in 2 Corinthians, the ambassadors portion. So 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So here's John Chrysostom. Can you see how great God's love is for us? Who was the offended party? He was. Who took the first steps toward reconciliation? He did. Some will say that he sent the Son in his place, but this is a misunderstanding. Christ did not come apart from the Father who sent him. They were both involved together in the work of reconciliation. Here ends the reading. God is at work in us and through us to reconcile himself, us to himself, to do the will of God. What is the will of God? To walk uprightly. Here's the summary of the law. Love the Lord your God with all your might. Excuse me. Love the Lord. Oh my gosh. I'm going to scroll back up to it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So what is the will of God? To be reconciled to God and to love him and to love each other. I was talking on the phone with a friend, and it was brought to mind comparing and contrasting the Gospel of John as opposed to, say, the Epistles of John. In the Epistles, it's, you know, John the great theologian, little children, love one another. It's a really interesting contrast from the sort of high, piercing theology of the Gospel of John to the Epistles, which repeat several times, little children love one another. It's this urgent yet gentle fatherly call, love one another. Love one another. This is the great commandment, love the Lord your God and to love one another. Well, I think that wraps that up. Again, thank you for listening. Feedback, amateuranglican@gmail.com. The website, of course, is amateuranglican.com. The email address, amateuranglican@gmail.com. I think I mashed those two together. Let's see, what else? So I'm hoping to get some out this coming week. And I need to stop looking away from the microphone. I sound like I'm very far away. Okay. Enough of that silliness. Thank you for listening. And I would appreciate feedback. I haven't heard from anybody in a while. But it still downloads, but I don't have really good trend lines to know how much people are actually listening. So, but like I said, when I started this, the the most important part of this might be the catechism of myself. As I teach this, I am catechizing, as I am sharing this. I'm not sure if I'm teaching in this format so much as digging through it and sharing things that I find as I read the scripture and then look through church fathers and the book of homilies and things like that. So again, thank you for listening. Let me close in prayer. Almighty God, you have given your only begotten Son to take our nature upon him and to be born of a pure virgin. Grant that we, who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with you in the same Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.